always stopped or ended yesterday talking about that the only difference between man and beasts is circumcision. It's important to recognize that when the scriptures in 2 Peter and in Jude and elsewhere talk about that if you are operating as a brute beast, it simply means that you're operating by your senses, by your templates that have been created on how you discern and judge any situation you're in. And so there are no correct responses a priori. And so the whole idea that that you have an idea of what something is right or wrong or good or bad or classy or not classy or anything is simply a function of you as a brute beast. Well, that's impolite. He's a slob. She's a whatever she is. When you define a person or a situation beforehand and then describe or understand that person, I mean, you don't define them or judge them, but you have an image. And so that is the idolatry that is that destroys your life. It robs you of peace. It robs you truly of fellowship because it will anger you or upset you. Like, the perfect example for me is what I told you about the other morning, that that I couldn't stand. I thought anyone who used any kind of scatological humor was just worse than a pig. And then it became obvious to me why that happened, because the Lord revealed or opened my memory block to cause me to remember why that occurred.
That would explain then why you had to move over here.
What?
That explains why you had to move here with us.
Anyhow, before I was so rudely interrupted by Harry, in case you're listening, this is critical. If you don't believe this, then you will always justify your idol. Well, that's just the way it's supposed to be. Everybody knows that. And you will go crazy. All of us have a million of those things. And no one of us can ascertain without the cross that those images of the way things are supposed to be are the proof that we're a brute beast. Now, on the other hand, unless you had done that and conformed to them in whatever society that you were in, you couldn't have survived. So that's why everything has a purpose in its time. But once the temple of God is dedicated, if you understand that you are the temple of the living God, then everything has to go. Everything. Your ideas of style, your ideas of culture, your ideas of politics, your ideas of the way people should behave, all of them have to go. Otherwise, you're still acting as a brute beast. Does everybody understand this? Then how can you get mad at people for not doing be the way you think they should? Remember, so often I've said that, Christ said, except you be converted and become as that little child, you shall no wise enter the kingdom of God. And the little child, it's a word that means without self-awareness. If you have no self-awareness, then you have no basis of judging whether something is right or wrong. I said I wasn't going to talk about it, but this political thing is a perfect example. There are a jillion people who are believers who who knows what the percentage is, but some of them are Democrats and some of them are Republicans. And there's an untold number of breaks in fellowship and hatreds now because their political thing is more important than the unity of the Spirit. And so, again, this is what it's talking about when it says the only difference between a man and a beast is circumcision. So let's look at some of these circumcisions. Remember, we're starting off in Ecclesiastes. It talks about that there's no difference, that we are all beasts. Okay, now, and the only difference between man and beast is circumcision. Now, why would that be? What would be circumcision? What the hell would that mean? There's circumcision of the heart, the flesh, of the ears, and of the lips. Unless all of them have been circumcised, then you're still wandering around in your own blood. It's what Zipporah, remember when she hollered at Moses and said, "You are a bloody husband"? Because he was still wandering around in his own blood. Do any of you have any care in terms of how anybody else responds to you? Don't lie. Can you repent of it? Now, in a community, that's why it says not many of you should be teachers, because in many things you will offend everyone, because the teacher's job is to offend you, to cause you to offend, not at the Bibles, but to cause you to be challenged in these arenas. If there's fear, if there's shyness, if there's judgments, all those things are all the fruit of an uncircumcised heart or an uncircumcised lips or uncircumcised ears. So in a very real sense, what the Bible calls sanctification is completing the circumcision process on your ears, your lips, and your heart. Now, the first requirement was in Leviticus 12. You don't have to go there. You can trust me for this one. If anybody wants to, they can go to 12:3. It says, when the Lord spake unto, or 12:1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed and born a man-child, then she shall be unclean 7 days. According to the days of the separation for her infirmity shall she be unclean. And then the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. Then he is without circumcision. You can't even be a member of this chosen family. Well, without circumcision of the heart, you can't be a member of the family that this typified. I wasn't going to do it, but I'll do it. And in the 8th day of the flesh of his foreskin, he shall be circumcised. And she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of your purifying be fulfilled. Why? What does that have to do with anything? It's worse. If she conceives a female, then the times of separation are twice that. Why? Because the man is the type of Christ, and the woman is the type of us. Now, what is that? Now that's what it meant. You had to go through this to be called the Jew. When all of the nation of Israel came out of the world, out of Egypt, and they all wandered in the wilderness, and they then went into the promised land, the first thing that had to happen was they had to be circumcised. Otherwise, they couldn't be part of the kingdom of God. You want me to cut off the head of my what? And the pagan kings made fun of them all the time if they happened to watch the ceremonies. Now, will you trust me that there's a circumcision of the heart and a circumcision of the... do I have to go through all of those? Well, let's go to Romans 2 then.
Are you going to get into what it means, the spiritual circumcision, or is that where you're going? That's my question. Does it have to do with a cutting away of something or a marking of something?
No. It's typified. What gets man in trouble? What rules? Which head rules you? So the thing that got man in most trouble, it had to be circumcised. The head of it had to be cut off as a type of putting away the filth of the flesh. Now, the rule of baptism, of circumcision, went out the window in Christ, because now baptism, it's no longer putting away the filth of the flesh as the typified. It's the whole damn thing is buried. So that's the contrast. Circumcision is to the Old Testament, as baptism is to the completed Testament.
There's not so much modifying the heart or the lips as
cutting away, away, away. The heart, why the heart? The heart we'll see in a great detail here in a minute. The heart is the place symbolically of your knowledge and understanding and faith. And unless the heart is circumcised, then that understanding, wisdom, faith can't be manifest. It'll be covered over by everything else. Let's go to Romans 2. Does everybody understand this? That's a good question. I'm glad you asked, because I don't think anybody else understood it, but they didn't say anything, right?
So is baptism like circumcision on the heart?
Well, it's hopefully it is, unless you resurrect the son of a bitch from the dead again.
He's not doing it now.
All right. Verse 25 of Romans 2. For circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? In other words, because Christ is the righteousness of the law, he is the fulfillment. If someone who is uncircumcised abandons themselves and let Christ live, then his uncircumcision is counted for circumcision. Capisce? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision dost transgress the law? For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter. And the fruit of that, whose praise is not of God, of men, but of God. And that means the praise of men, it sounds, well, I don't want any praise, I'm just humble. No. The praise of men here means that it doesn't matter what somebody's response to you is. You stay the same. Is that clear? Well, then it's typified in the circumcision of the ear in Acts 7:51, and of the lips in Exodus 4 and 6 and Jeremiah, all over the place. So, can we leave? You understand now why The only difference between a man and a beast is circumcision. Is somebody, is something going on here that I'm not aware of? It's like I'm talking to the ceiling again. What? Well, you can feel it. So I just forge on ahead? All right. Go back to Ecclesiastes.
Well, what's coming clear to me as you're talking is the relationship between this and what we talked about Sunday night about the life being blood, the flesh is in the blood. The idea that there can be no freedom from the flesh. The only freedom from the flesh is circumcision. Otherwise, you're doomed to walk in the flesh. This is hardwired and there's no escaping. It's impossible.
Amen. Okay, verse 18, chapter 3. I said in mine heart concerning the state of the sons of men that God might manifest or sift them, that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth the beasts, befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. What an incredible statement. Can you see why the many times the rabbis and jillions of times there's two books of the Bible that everybody wanted to get out at one time or another. Three. One is Ecclesiastes. Two is the Song of Solomon. And three is the book of Revelation. Those three have been, and to me, those three have more revelation of the mystery than any other. But they destroy you. All right. I'm sorry. All go unto one place. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. This has to be one of the most ignored scriptures in the Bible. Since the beasts go to the dust, we go to the dust. Oh no, but my little doggy is in heaven. I just wrote a book. There's 57 proofs that my little doggy, that your pet is in heaven with you. Well, Ollie, you just did the superior dance. You're right. Because I get so sick of men who claim to be in the name of God putting out this in comic book theology. It grieves me to... Because anybody with any sense is just rejecting God because of what they're saying. Do you understand? All right. All go to one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Ronnie is a hunk of dust that's going to just become a hunk of dust. My understanding of me and my memory of me will only last as long as time does. Oh, but it says that you'll be tormented forever. Well, forever only lasts as long as time. Can you see that? Jesus said this incredible thing. Here's what he said. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man. Only he has immortality. Only that which proceeded from heaven can return to heaven.
That's a clear line of demarcation.
Can you really understand this? Do you really grok the meaning of this? If you can, then finally you can see the vanity and futility and emptiness of your efforts and your mind. Everything in your mind is just going to become a hunk of dust and ashes. That's why repentance, true repentance, they put dust and they clothe themselves in sackcloth. Sackcloth was made of the hair of the animals that were sacrificed to indicate that that was their lot. And they put dust on their forehead, and sometimes they threw it all over themselves, to let them tangibly know that they were beasts. And their only hope, I mean, they couldn't have any hope in anything they can imagine. So that your life can stop being about you. Now, this whole thing that we're studying right now, you know, I keep telling you that to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, let's make it stand. Nothing can stand against us finished. I promise you, not one thought, not one idea, not one voice that you have can stand against this. Just speed up time a little bit in your mind, and you will see that everything is a pile of dust and meaningless. Well, that means I'm just going to go commit suicide. Okay, go ahead. It's about as meaningful as your life is anyway. The only meaning of life is Jesus Christ. You were created to contain Him and Him alone. And anything else is just a bunch of dung. Paul said, I've suffered the loss of all things. It's easy. I mean, I don't cry. I mean, if anybody has a spiritual understanding of a gnat, and they don't give any hoot about money or things or property or. But the real test comes in not giving a hoot, not giving any breath to anything about you. I've suffered the loss of all things, including every idea, every opinion, everything that I think about myself, and I do count them but dung. Well, that doesn't sound very nice, Ole. That's not very hopeful.
Actually, it's attractive in an abstract sense, but when the rubber hits the road, it's offensive.
To a sign of you, what do you think about all this? Since we don't have Elder Buckner making comments every 5 minutes, that's what I feel lost about.
Let's go drag his ass out of his house and bring him down here.
He's gone to California.
Literally.
He'll be late. Let's just make sure that you see this and you don't think I'm just making this up. Or this is the Old Testament. I don't have to pay attention to that. Let's go to 2 Peter. Chapter 2. Verse 8. 9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of testing, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment, to be punished. but chiefly them that walk. Remember when we studied this, the word for walk there is to pursue a predetermined course of action. That's what walk means. And this is not the normal walk as a Christian. This word, I don't remember what it is, but it means to have a predetermined course of action. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh and the lust of uncleanness. Well, because the word lust is there, that must mean to those that are sexual perverts. And despise governments. Presumptuous are they. Self-willed. They're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. But these, again, who are the these? Anyone who walks according to a predetermined course of action. Capisce? But these are brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. It says the same thing in Jude. So let's go, just take a quick right for 3 or 4 pages or 5.
What are we going to?
Jude, your favorite book. These speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and the way of Balaam, and everything else. All the other bad types. Can you maybe start to understand why Jesus said, give no thought to your life? Oh no, he didn't say that. This is what I heard all the time. No, he didn't really say that. What he really meant to say, it's the Kent version. He really meant to say that you're not supposed to be anxious or nervous about anything. No. Give no thought to your life. Give no thought to tomorrow. Give no thought. Give no thought. Give no thought. Because any thought will corrupt. The Lord just told me.
Amen.
What we just read in Leviticus about if you conceive seed and it brings forth and you're unclean. I was watching the telethon this morning, or praise-a-thon, the pre-recorded praise-a-thon on TBN. And one after another, because one of them said it, then everyone else had to repeat it, that it's time for you to conceive the seed that you have planted. Well, then they're unclean for like 66 days. Because somehow the sperm of God has become money. Plant your seed in hot soil. All right, one more place. Let's go to Isaiah 64. Oh, that thou would rend the heavens, that thou would come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, as when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down, the mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen them, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for them that wait on him. And every thing else besides waiting is an attempt of the beast, properly named, to keep that mystery from being manifested in you. I've seen it over and over and over and over again.
Is this first time I thought about the beast in Revelation as not being some huge monster, but it's just us resurrecting.
That's the first time you've thought about it.
Well, I don't know, but it just sounds so clear right now.
It's because Rabbi Joyce Sanis said this brilliant thing, and that's what I'm saying.
She just looked at you, huh?
How many thousand times have I told you you were the beast?
Sometimes it takes a little
all right.
century to sink in.
All righty. That's a good place to stop. For me to live as Christ, to die is gain. Christ is our life. There is none else. Everything else is meaningless. Vain, empty. And we see it no matter where we look, from Genesis to Malachi, it's all Him. But you don't understand what I'm going through right now. That's the common complaint. I'm special. Boy, did I have it out with somebody on the phone yesterday from across the waters. It listens to the Bible study. Which waters? Which way? It's over. Your warfare is over. In quietness and in confidence. I got to do one more thing. Isaiah 32.
I got to interrupt you. I've been sitting here since I got here thinking about how bad I feel. And I look over and I see this kid over here grinning from ear to ear at me. And just look at that.
Upon the land of my people have come up thorns and briars, yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city. The palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city be left, the forts and towers shall be for dens forever, a joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be counted as a forest, even though it looks like an empty nothing. Understand? Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness shall be quietness and assurance forever. There's no expectation of failure. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings, in quiet resting places. When it shall hail, coming down on the forest, and the city shall be low in a low place. And blessed are they, are you, that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. Well, I mean, that's another story. But the point of it is quietness and assurance forever. Peaceable habitation. And everything in the universe, but especially that part of you that makes you the beast, is trying to cause you to leave the peaceable habitation. By judging your brother, then you fall from the strong city. By giving breath to yourself in the slightest way. By ministering to you, which is just the normal, natural thing that everybody does. How come dogs lick their balls all the time? Because they can. And you would if you could. But what? Where did that come from? It just snuck out there.
Yeah, you were going to stop a while ago.
For all you parents who are listening to Bible study with your kids, rewind the
time. Well, it's a perfect example of ministering to yourself. And you do it in a thousand ways. You got to have your, you know, whatever. Just forget yourself. Shut up, all of you, and take it, big guy.
Just get over yourself.